I walked up and I see like these people like walking in a circle, and there's like all these amazing cakes just like all over a table. And I'm like, Rachel, am I allowed to do this? And she's like, yes. And I was like, that's the prettiest word I've ever heard in my life. The word yes. When I was like able, because look at me, like I love cake, right? And those were some awesome cakes. And I was like, yeah. So she's like, do you want to do it? And I was like, yes. How could I not want to do this? And then I walk out here and there's barbecue that we made. I was like, man, should I eat it? And my mom's back there serving that little lady. That's my mama, so be nice to her. I'm watching you, all right? So she was like, you want some? I was like, yes, of course. And this word yes just kept popping up. I was like, this is such an amazing word. Yes, because I just want to do all this awesome stuff. And the word yes can be a really cool word because we can use it to open up opportunities in our lives, like new things, fun things, awesome things, delicious thing sometimes, and it's just a really useful, awesome word. And so the more I thought about it, and I thought about, hey, what are we going to be doing tonight and studying tonight and why we're actually here, even though we're having a whole lot of fun, right? There's tons of cool stuff going on, but the real reason why we're here, the biggest reason why we're here, I hope tonight that every single one of us have come ready to say a word that I've just said about 15 times. Yes. There it is. But what I want you to say yes to tonight is bigger than just a competition. It's bigger than some cakes. It's bigger than some barbecue or fun. What we come to tonight in the passage that we're going to look at, there's a guy in here who was all about saying the word yes. But see, the tricky thing about yes is you have to say yes to the right things, or it could actually lead you in some really bad directions. And the results could actually be pretty destructive. So the tricky thing about that word yes is that you need to say yes to the right thing. And if you do, it can change your life. And there could be some awesome results. Better than cake, all right? Better than some of these really cool. It's hard to do that, right? But what we're going to look at tonight, if you're willing to say the word yes to, will change more than just your life. It will change your eternity. And so for the next couple minutes, I know we've been having a lot of fun, and I still want to have fun because it's fun to talk about the Word of God. I just want to have really focused fun right now. Let's focus in on what God's going to say, because I believe this passage is going to change some lives tonight. Because as I read it in my office this week and I've been studying it, it changed mine. The more I read this thing, the more inside of me Jesus started to do some work and to open my eyes up to some things that I needed to say yes to. So keep that in mind as we study. I want to read Acts chapter 8. If you guys have Bibles or phones or whatever you need to do to get there to read with me. Also, it's going to be on the screens. So peek up here, Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26, is what it says. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.'" So skirt, stop right there for a second. You're like, who's Philip? Who's like the spirit of the Lord and this angel and like Gaza and all these crazy things? Like, what's going on? What are you reading to me, Rob? So let me recap real quick. All right. There's this guy named Philip. He's a man of the Lord. God has done some awesome stuff in Philip. He's taken Philip and done really cool things through his power. And he said, Philip, here's what I want you to do. I just want you to get up and go to this place I'm telling you. That's all. It's just a simple command. Hey, get up and go. And it's a desert place. And he's like, what? The desert? Like, why are you sending me to the middle of the desert? Why would I ever go there? But he doesn't ask God that. He doesn't stop and go, but Lord, listen, think about this for a second. You're sending me to the desert. He's just like, okay, God. And it says he rose and went. That's really cool for me, because I look at that and I think sometimes God talks to me. He's like, hey, Rob, I want you to do this. And I'm like, God, wait, hold on, wait. Can we time out? Let's have a chat. Like, I don't know if you've thought this all the way through, God. There's a couple things I need to tell you. You might not have noticed. But I look at Philip and he's just like, God said it. And he's like, yep, I'm going to get up and go. How about you in your life? Do you hear God talk to you? Do you have times where you sit down and you listen to God? Maybe you're here tonight, you're like, I don't even have like a way to talk to God. Like, I don't have a relationship with him. What is that? And some of you might be here and you're like, I have a relationship, but it's been a while since I've really talked to God or heard God tell me to do something. And I'm not even talking about like with your ears, like God's like, Rob, hello, and wakes me up in my sleep. But I'm saying like God speaks to my heart and God's like leading me in ways to go, hey, Rob, I want you to go do something. And I'm like, God, I need to have a chat with you.
And there's not always total obedience, like immediate obedience like that when God says something, like I see with Philip. It's really cool that he's just like, okay, God, I genuinely believe in you and trust you. And so when you say something, I know it's for my good. I don't doubt it. I know my mind's going to get blown if I just follow you and say yes, and I get up and go. And that's what Philip does. It's so awesome. And I pray that over us. You know that? Like, I literally every day pray for you guys, that type of faith. There's things that I pray for this group. I pray that you are able to hear the voice of God. I pray that every single day. It's one of the things I have on my list that I pray for. I want you to hear the voice of God on your own, without me having to come along and like preach it to you. I want you to be able to just in your time with God, read the Bible and listen and pray and hear his voice. And then I also pray that you're willing to obey him when he talks to you. So my top two things I pray for you every single day if you're a student at Firehouse, because that's what I want for us, that you can hear God's voice and that you will obey him when he talks to you. And here's what, this is Philip. Like, he's doing that. He hears God's voice. He's like, all right, I get up and I go. And it says this next. There was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, all right? He's a court official of Candace, who is the queen of the Ethiopians, who is in charge of all her treasure. He comes along this guy in the middle of the desert, who happens to be like one of the highest officials for this queen, who's loaded, like tons of money, rich, and he's in charge of all of her treasure. Like, that's who he bumps into randomly. This like incredibly high dude, like royalty. And as he comes up on this guy, it's not like you just bump into a guy like that every day. All of a sudden, look what happens. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, this Ethiopian guy. He came to Jerusalem because he wanted to worship. And he was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. I want you to notice something here. This guy came to worship in Jerusalem, but this guy didn't have a clue who Jesus was. This royal dude who had like one of the most lucrative jobs you could have, with all sorts of power and wealth and fame and whatever else. People respected him. This guy had come to Jerusalem to worship, but had no clue what he was worshiping. Doesn't that seem like almost like just crazy? Why would you want to go worship if you have no reason to? But stop. Because there's a lot of people that worship or that go to places of worship and have no clue who they're worshiping. There's a lot of people who come to church, and sometimes even regularly they go to church and they sit in worship services like we just did or like we're doing right now, and they don't know why. They don't know why they've come. They don't know why they're singing, why they're going whoa, whoa, whoas with it. Like, they don't understand why they're doing all that stuff, but they're there, and it's really cool that they're there. Because as we're going to see in a minute, God has done something really, really awesome to get them there. And they think they're just going. Like, I just showed up. Like, I'm just here to worship. I just went about my day, and here I am. Some of you guys probably think you got here just because a friend invited you. You think that's, like, the whole deal. I heard about it. Maybe I got a postcard in my mailbox that had this funny little pumpkin that said, launch me on it. So I was like, sweet, I got to go do this. Like, maybe that's what it was. Or maybe, like, maybe your friends, like, hounded you and dragged you here tonight. Or maybe you're like, barbecue. Now I can smell that from over there. I'm coming tonight. I don't know what brought you. You might think some of those things are why you're here. But tonight, I think in this passage, we're going to see, hopefully you'll see for yourself. I don't even have to convince you. You'll see when we read this passage that the story might be a little bigger than that. The reason why you're here might be a little deeper than what you think tonight. So he's here worshiping, has no clue why, and look what happens. The Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. Skirt. Wait a minute. Like, I'm just some like dirty ragtag prophet dude over here, just like wearing weird clothes, and I'm a little stinky because I've been on a journey, and like I'm all dirty, and he's royalty in a chariot surrounded by guards who will kill me in an instant. They will kill me where I stand if I go over to that chariot. Like, he's got secret service around him. And God's like, hey, go jump in the chariot. It's like, that's when Rob would be going, what? Like, what do you want me to do, God? Did you think that went over very well? You want me to die, don't you? Like, if Philip, look what he does. Look at his next words. He tells him, go rejoin the chariot. So Philip ran to him. Wait. I'm just picturing like one of those movies, like those old movies where like the dude has a spear and from like 50 yards away, he's just like guy running at me. He looks crazy, throws the spear. And he's like, shish kebab, you know, like you're done. You're done. Like he didn't even get close. He was just done. But he's the dude's running. He's charging the chariot. Like, didn't that seem crazy? But God said, do it. So Philip's like, I'm all in. How awesome is that? Isn't that refreshing a little bit when you hear God tell someone something and they're just like, I am all in. I'm not too busy for you, God. I'm not going to start this thing and get distracted by all my hobbies and other things in my life. If you say go, I'm all in. I'm not just walking. I'm not dragging my feet. I'm not arguing with you about it. I'm sprinting full force at what you told me to do. I know there's guards over there. I know that those guys could kill me like this. But God said it. It's refreshing to me to hear someone who means what they say they believe. Someone who does and lives out what they're saying they believe. Man, Philip does it. He runs to this chariot. And it says that the guy's in there reading, right? He's reading from this, the book of the Bible, Isaiah. And as he's reading, it's confusing because there's a lot of this like prophecy. Like Isaiah foretold things that were going to happen thousands of years later that we've seen happen. You and I have already seen happen in history. And so he's reading it and not understanding, like, what's going on? Like, what's happening in Isaiah? And Philip runs up, hears him reading Isaiah, and he asks him a question. Look what it says next there. Do you understand what you're reading? Like, I see your face looks a little confused, okay? People ask me that when I'm studying math all the time. It's like, do you understand what you're reading? I'm like, 25. Like, I have no clue what I'm reading. This dude had that confused look. And he says, how can I? What a great answer. How can I unless someone guides me? He's like, dude, seriously, you're asking me if I understand this stuff? I can't ever understand this unless someone shows up to teach me. Ding, ding, ding. He's like, well, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm running to your chariot, because God said go. And I said, okay, God, I'm going to do whatever you say. And he gets up and he runs because he wanted to teach the dude. Can I ask you a question? How many of you guys here tonight are like, man, I probably need someone to teach me God's word. Like if I just opened God's word tonight, I'd be confused. I'd have that like Rob math problem thing on my face. Like I have no clue what this is. I need someone to teach me God's word. How many of us maybe, we've never even opened the word enough to know whether we'd be able to get it or not. Can I challenge you tonight to do it? Try that. Be a person that gets in God's word. See if it, let it challenge you. Challenge you to the point where you say, like, man, I need to join a life group or go to Sunday school or be like consistent on Wednesday nights. I need to get in places with people, my life group leader, where they're teaching me God's word. Like I'm craving it. I love going on mission trips and seeing other countries where people in these countries can't, they're not like not allowed to legally read God's word. Because you know what they want to do? Read God's word. Like I show up to these places and they're like, get over here. Come here. Like teach me this. You're a pastor. You know God's word. Sit down. And they'll like make you stay in their house for hours and hours and not want you to leave because they just want to hear what God's word says. And you know what's sad too? Is that a lot of times I come back to the States here and I get around people expecting that and it's like, man, we want to talk about God's word again. Seriously, that's all you do is talk about God's word. It's like such a difference. And I love people that recognize how much they need God's word. Like we can't survive without God's word. Not in a healthy way. This guy got it. This dude just shows up to worship. He didn't know why. He's in his chariot. He's just trying to read Isaiah. He's like, I just want a teacher. How many of you guys are able to teach and you're not? How many of you guys have neighbors who are like, they need to know about Jesus, but you're not showing up. You're not inviting them into your house to say, hey, come study the book of John with me. Let's just read through it together. How many of you guys have an FCA at your school that you could easily be a part of if you rearrange your schedule a little bit or skip a couple things just to get there and do what you have to do to show up and say, I want to come and like teach people God's word at school. Like, have you thought through all the opportunities that God's throwing at you? And you might just be batting them away like, nope, not that one. No, not that one. What if every single one of us in this room tonight that believed in Jesus, when God said, hey, I want you to go to FCA, I want you to talk to your neighbor, I want you to talk to that person on your sports team, how whatever it is he told you to do, it's going to be different, right, for each of us. But as he talks to you, what if every single one of us just jumped up like Philip and started running to do the thing God asked us to do? Do you know how crazy that would be? Like, do you understand how your school would change and your neighborhood and your community and this church and this very youth group? If you guys did that, just if we did that, we just said, God, listen, like whatever you say, we're jumping up, we're excited, and we mean what we believe. So let's go. Let's do it. I want to obey you, whatever it is you're calling me to do. Yes, God, yes. There's that word, yes. It can be so powerful if you say yes to the right thing. And I'll tell you, every time God sends you somewhere, yes is the right answer. It's the right thing. And more of us need to start saying yes as he's calling us to do that. I'm proud of you guys. You know that? Over the, like a month ago, we put some papers up on the walls with different things that you could say yes to, like FCA and Mission Trip Merritt Island and some different things. And you guys signed up for those. I'll tell you what, we've just blown the doors off the stairs, off the room upstairs, because we've had so many people show up for Mission Trip Merritt Island to help. We're running out of cars to like put you guys in. Because you're saying, yes, like I want to serve my community. I'm proud of you. There's people blowing up the FCAs around this community and these different schools. Because you're saying, yes, I want to say yes to God. I want to encourage you, keep doing that. And if you're not on board yet, jump on board. Join us as we say yes to God. Philip's all about saying yes. And here he is, willing to be that teacher. I want to encourage you guys, find someone in your life that you can teach. Someone that might not know Jesus as well as you, that you can take under your arm and say, look, can we just study something together? Maybe we meet early at school one day, once a week, and we just read part of the Bible or a couple verses and pray. But be that Philip to people in your life that don't know God's word. It says, so Philip ran to him, right? He's reading, how do I understand without a teacher? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Like, you're here. I've been waiting. How did God know to send you to me out here in the desert? Like, and my guys didn't kill you. That's a surprise. You're still here. Great. I'm thankful for that. Jump in. Come on up here and teach me something. And it says, now the passage of scripture that he was led to, I'm sorry, this passage of scripture that he was reading was this: like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. He was described. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. This is a prophecy, and you're probably like, just like the Ethiopian, you're like, what? What does that say? See why he needed a teacher? What is he talking about? You and I know. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice that was paid because you and I are sinners. We're born sinful. We're born on our way to hell, broken, with no hope. But Jesus, the only Son of God, came down to earth as man, and he died on a cross for you and me. He died where we should have died. He paid the penalty that you and I owe because we're sinners and he was perfect. And then 3 days later, Jesus, the Son of God, because he's God, raised from the dead. He came back to life, and he beat sin, and he beat death. And that gives you life if you believe on him. If you pray and say, God, take my life, forgive me of my sin. I want you to be my God. He promises you eternal life if you confess his name as Lord. That's what he was reading. That's this prophecy. It's called the gospel. It's called good news because that good news means you don't have to go to hell. You get to spend eternity in heaven with God if you believe in Jesus and give him your life. And that's exactly what this Ethiopian's like, Philip, I'm reading this. Can you explain it to me? And Philip's like, I get to tell you the gospel. Like, this is great. And so he starts to teach him. He says, and the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. He's like, this is awesome news for you. It means you don't have to die and go to hell forever and pay this horrible penalty for sin. Because God looked down and said, that's not good enough for me. You don't deserve it, but I love you. And I love you so much, I'm going to give my only son to die for you. That's good news. We're getting something we don't deserve. It's called grace, a grace we don't understand. And so that's the good news that Philip got to explain. And it says, as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch, this Ethiopian, said, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? Immediately, this guy hears this good news and says, yes. Yes. I need that, and I want that. I see I'm broken. I know what I do all day, every day. I hear my own thoughts. I see where my eyes look. I hear the things that come out of my mouth. I know I'm sinful. I know I'm broken. And I have no clue how to get out of this mess. And then you come along and you randomly meet me in a desert to tell me about how God loves me so much, he sent his only son to die for me, to get me out of the very mess I have no clue how to get out of. Yes. I want that. He says, why can't I just get baptized right now? I believe. And he confesses Jesus as his Savior. He asks Jesus to save him and forgive him of his sin. And there's this thing that Jesus asks of us as we lay our lives at his feet and say, God, save me. He says, the next thing I want you to do after you've been saved, be obedient to me. I want you to tell everybody about it by doing something. It's this thing called baptism. And they would take a person, like he sees water. There's this river there. He's like, what do I, there's water. Take me to the water. And so he would bring him over and he'd dunk him down under the water. And it represents like Jesus going down into the earth, into a grave of death and saying, I'm dying to sin. I'm dying to this broken life. I'm dying to the old me. And then as he brings him back up out of the water, it represents Jesus coming back from the grave. And you, as you believe in that way, the same thing is happening to you. As you say yes to Jesus, you're dying to sin. And you're coming back alive, brand new, someone totally new and fixed and made perfect to Jesus. Because when God looks at you, you know what he sees? He sees Jesus. He sees his son's blood shed for you. He no longer sees your sin because he put it on Jesus. Does that mean you're going to act perfectly for the rest of your life? Nope, it's going to be a journey. He's going to have to grow you. You're going to mess up. And that's what this teaching is all about. People coming around you and saying, I love you. Don't do that. Don't mess up. Don't be a dummy. Come on, follow Jesus. And they encourage you. But when God looks at you, there's no more trying to impress him. There's no more trying to earn his love by being good. It's just, I love you. My son died for you and rose again. Do you believe it or not? Do you say yes or not? Some of you guys are at that point and you've been struggling. Man, I know. I see it on your face when I speak every Wednesday. I'm watching your faces and I could see it. And I ask that question like, hey, have you laid your heart down before Jesus? Have you received him as your Savior? And I could see it on your face and you're thinking about it and you're like, man, I'm just not sure. Some of you guys I've had conversations with and you've told me like, I'm just not ready yet. I encourage you by looking at what Philip did and saying, God brought you here for a reason to hear this word tonight. God brought you here so you would hear good news. And like Philip, will you say yes tonight immediately? Will you jump up and just start running and say, God, you want to save me? You want to forgive me? I need that. I want that. Forgive me, God. And tonight might be the night that finally you lay your heart down and say, God, it's yours. God, take it. And say yes to Jesus. Say yes to his forgiveness tonight. And there's some of you guys that you're here and you come every week and you're like, man, I want to grow in Jesus, but I'm just too busy. My schedule and these friends that I have over here influencing me and I like hanging out with them. And like, there's all these things going on just holding me back from saying yes about living 100% for Christ. I'm praying. I've been praying all day that tonight would be the night that you say yes. Yes, Jesus. I want to give it all. I'm getting up and I'm sprinting because I hear what you're telling me, and I'm done saying no and I'm done arguing with you. I'm saying yes. Now, some of you guys who you got saved and but you haven't actually taken the step yet to be baptized and say, like, I need to be baptized. I need to tell people around me what I've done. I need to obey Jesus. He said, after you're saved, follow me in baptism so people can see what I've done in your life. You can proclaim it to the people around you. And maybe tonight you need to say yes to baptism. Like, I need to be baptized so people can hear that and see that, so I can follow Jesus obediently. I'm not sure exactly where you fall tonight, but this is what I want you to hear as we close. I want to share a quick story. So a lot of you guys know this story, but some of you haven't heard it. I went to China a few years back with Pastor Fayez. He's our missions pastor. And while we were in China, we had the opportunity to go speak in an underground church. You know that churches in China are illegal for the most part. You can't have your own churches. There's only like one church you're allowed to attend. It's a government-sanctioned church. And there were these groups of believers that were meeting underground so they wouldn't get arrested. And they wanted us to teach. They were just like, there's a pastor here. Ask him, see if he'll come over. So we got word and we're like, yes, absolutely, I want to go. And so we're trying to navigate China. It was crazy. It was busy. There's lots of like stuff going on. And we get a taxi cab and we had this little card we were given to like help us like with like getting around in taxis, and you just show them and point at what you want. It had little symbols for different things like restaurants and stuff like that, like a little Domino's symbol and a little McDonald's arches and things like that. So if you got lost, you could just be like, hey, right there. So like I speak some Chinese. So I got up and I was like speaking with this guy telling him where we want to go. And I was explaining we're going to go to this church. But first we want to stop at Pizza Hut. We were dying for Pizza Hut. We had eaten like chicken feet and like all this crazy like brains and livers and all these crazy things all week. I was like, I just want a pizza. You know, I want some pepperoni. And so I'm telling the dude like, we want to stop there. And then we want to go to this underground church. Or we didn't say underground church. We got arrested. But we want to go to their friend's house. And so we're like, we want to go there. And so we start driving, and as we drive, we see it. Oh, yeah, there's a big Pizza Hut sign, and we just drive by. And I'm looking at the dude, I'm like, ching, chong, 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 and I talk to him, right? And he's like, hey, he says, step back. And then we're like, wait, but no. And I'm pointing at the window, and as the sign's going by, I'm like, pizza. I'm like, no. And so we keep driving, and it felt like forever, and we see another Pizza Hut, and we're like, that's where he's taking us. He just mixed up the Pizza Huts. And so we go, nope, sure enough, he passes right by it. We pass like three Pizza Huts, and I'm like in tears, literally. I'm a grown man crying in the front seat because I want pizza so bad, and the dude's just not getting it. So I give up. I'm like, maybe my Chinese is just totally horrible. So I pull up the card, the old safety card. I'm like, oh, maybe he didn't understand me. I'm pointing at the symbol as it's behind me in the window, and we're passing it. And I'm holding it up to the window going, pizza, pizza, like, please. Nope, he just keeps going. He ends up, he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, like, he understood me. And so I'm thinking, finally, he got it. And we get off the exit, whatever. He pulls up in front of a McDonald's. And I'm just like, I don't want cat burger. I want pizza tonight, okay? That's what I'm trying to get. No, so finally, Fires is like, if we wait any longer, you're not going to make it on time to this church to teach. So I like, we just get out and I have the worst mood. Like, I am hangry right now. I am so mad that we're getting out and I'm just like dragging my feet. And I'm like, I'm literally saying things out loud about how frustrated I am over a stinking pizza. And we're like heading up to this McDonald's and we get in there and we order. And it was the nastiest looking like Big Mac I had ever seen. And like these like, I don't even want to talk about it. And so then we sit down and I'm just sitting there and I'm waiting on Fayez and whoever else was with us to like come over and sit and get their food. And all week we had been working in this school where different like exchange students were also working. And there was a girl from Russia there that was atheist. And she didn't want to have anything to do with Christianity. She couldn't stand it when Christians came up and all this deal. She's like one of those. And so we're sitting there and all of a sudden I look up and that same Russian girl walks right by me. By this point, not only are we like maybe in another like state or country we had driven so far, like I have no idea where we are, but we drove a long ways away, way away from where the school was. And this girl happened to have a like an apartment right next to that McDonald's that we end up stopping at. And she walks right in and she sees us. She's like, oh, starts talking to me. She sits down. Fias comes back over and the other guys, and they sit down with me and they're like, oh, hey, you're here. Like, this is such a random thing. And the first thing out of her mouth was, hey, I know you guys are missionaries. I know that's why you're here. Will you tell me something? I've been wondering about Jesus for a while. I was like, I'm pouting right now. I still have a few tears left on my face over the pizza, okay? And in the middle of my grief, she's like, will you tell me about Jesus? And I'm upset because I'm going to be late to go talk to people about Jesus. Here I am, not trusting God one bit. And he marches this girl in here, basically begs us to tell her about who Jesus is. I had no clue. That's why God brought us all around the city. That girl ended up like becoming Facebook friends with like Fias' wife and like this whole deal and hearing all about Jesus because God took us on a detour that for him was never a detour. It was just a matter of saying yes. And it would have gone a lot better if from the beginning I had just gone, God, yeah, whatever you want to do. Some of you guys think that's how you got here tonight. Not some like crazy Chinese dude driving you in a taxi, hopefully. I mean, maybe some of you did. It's Merritt Island, maybe. Uber, whatever. But you have like this random story of how you think you got here tonight to hear this message and to talk to these people and to sit in the life groups that you're going to sit in. You think that you got here for those reasons, but I want to tell you one thing I'm absolutely 100% diehard positive about, and you won't change my mind about this. God chose to blind those things up to get you here tonight in this seat. I believe it with all my heart. No joke. Because God wanted you to hear that his son Jesus came to earth to die for you. Because God loves you that much. And he wants to forgive you of your sin and let Jesus pay that penalty for you. He's already done it. And what he's asking for you to do is say yes. God, forgive me. God, be my king. That's why he has you sitting here tonight. I'm confident of it. There's a lot of people in this room have different things they need to say yes to tonight. Will tonight be the night you say yes? Will you guys bow your heads for just a second with me? I'm a person that believes in prayer. I believe it works. I believe when we talk to God, he hears us. And I believe he does stuff in response to our prayer. And I want to pray for you guys. Because I know saying yes isn't easy. I know that. I mean, I just told you a story of my own life. But I know that when we say yes to the right things, God does incredible stuff. And so I want to give you guys the opportunity tonight to say yes. If you're here and you're the first category of people, that first group that I talked about, and you need Jesus to forgive you, and you're saying, like, I've never been saved. I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't know that. But tonight you can know that. If you place your trust in Jesus and ask him to forgive you, you can be saved. And if that's you tonight and that, like, I want that, I want to say yes to that, will you slip your hand up so I can pray for you? Just say, like, pray for me because I want to be saved. I want Jesus to forgive me of my sin. I want to know that I'm going to heaven forever. Will you slide your hand up in the air so I can see it? I want to pray for you tonight that God would do something in your heart, help you see that he is king and able to save you. And if you're here tonight and you're like, listen, God's calling me to do some stuff. I've been saying no or just dragging my feet or arguing, but tonight I'm ready to say yes. God, let's go. Will you slip your hand up? Rob, just pray for me that I'll have the courage to say yes to God and to do the things he's calling me to do tonight. Like, just pray. I want to be courageous. I want to run, just like Philip. I want to get up and run. Will you just slip your hand up so I can pray for you? Hold them up high if you raise your hand so I can see them. I want to ask your leaders to look and just pray for them. If they're in your group, will you also put them on your prayer list? I want to say yes to God tonight. Let me pray for you guys. Father, it's not easy to say yes in a culture that tells us to look out for ourselves all the time. God, I'm praying for you to give us the courage to stand up and to obey you. Lord, as I always pray, you hear me every day asking you this, Lord. I say it again today. Father, will you make us people that hear your voice when you talk to us, when you call us to do something in life, Lord, will you cause us to hear you? And Jesus, will you also cause us to be obedient and say, yes, I will, God, I'll do it, I'll obey you. There's some people here tonight who need to accept you as their Savior and be forgiven of sin, and I pray, God, that you would work in their heart. Lord, will you cause them to walk up to one of our leaders or me before this thing's done and just ask us how to do that? And Jesus, for those who raise their hand to say, I want to step up, I want to say yes to you, God, will you give them the courage and the boldness and the just clear focus on what you're calling them to do, Father, that they would step up and say yes, whatever it is you're calling them to do, God. Believe you with all their heart that you can and you will, because you're our God. Father, we love you and we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for what he's done on the cross. It's such good news. Let that be the news we sing about during this last song as we worship you, saying thank you for your salvation. It's in Jesus' name we pray.